slip sliding away.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott J. Gall. The stock market sell-off that started a couple days ago is still going. Today, Japan's Nikkei dropped 1.5%. Hong Kong's index, same thing. European shares are down for the fifth consecutive day. And yesterday was not a pretty day for Wall Street. The Dow slid 198 points to 13,266. All 30 Dow stocks lost value. The Nasdaq plunged 45 points, almost 2%, to 2541. And the S&P 500 dropped 26 to 1490. It's not just the stock market. Investors sold a lot of bonds yesterday, and their prices tumbled. That sent the yield on the 10-year T-note above 5% for the first time in almost a year. And there really is good reason to care about bond prices. Amy Scott explains what the heck happened yesterday.
Blame it on New Zealand. The country surprised investors yesterday by raising interest rates to curb inflation. The European Central Bank raised its rates Wednesday, and Federal Reserve Chairman Ben Bernanke hasn't helped matters. He warned early this week that inflation may pose a bigger threat than previously thought. Beth Malloy follows the bond market for research firm Briefing.com. She says investors got nervous.
You know, the Fed's been saying that they're worried about inflation, and we're seeing it happen all over the place. This is where the market kind of hit a wall and said, uh-oh, maybe it's true.
Bondholders don't like inflation because the cure is an interest rate hike. Let's say you bought a Treasury note at 5%. If the interest rate on T-notes goes up to 6%, the bond you bought is suddenly less attractive and its price falls. Stock investors don't like inflation either. Those higher interest rates make borrowing more expensive. And without access to cheap money, corporations don't grow as fast and consumers don't spend as much. U.S. stocks fell yesterday for the third day in a row. But currency investor Axel Merck welcomed the sell-off. He says investors have been flooding the markets with money, often borrowed money, without appreciating the risk.
We need to have a little bit of volatility in the market to instill fear to investors so that they start making reasonable decisions again.
In fact, some people think this pullback is what central bankers want. So a market correction may be good for the economy, but consumers could chafe if interest rates rise. Mortgage rates are pegged to the 10-year Treasury note. If Treasury yields keep rising, so will the cost of home loans. In New York, I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
The federal government has banned the import of some cell phones made with Qualcomm chips. They violate a patent owned by a rival company called Broadcom. Janet Babin reports from our Marketplace Innovations Desk at North Carolina Public Radio.
The ban affects some types of Sprint, Verizon, and T-Mobile cell phones. The disputed patent involves a device that makes their batteries last longer. But the ban can only take effect if the White House approves it. Justin Hughes with Cardozo Law School expects that'll happen.
Because we've been going around the world saying to lots of countries, you've got to be more serious about your enforcement of intellectual property rights.
The White House or its representative has 60 days to decide, and a whole lot of deal-making can happen in between. Still, if the ban were to take effect, Qualcomm and the cell phone companies could lose millions. But analyst Daniel Berninger with Tier 1 Research doesn't expect it to come to that.
The practical effect of this development, it's essentially just a negotiating point.
Broadcom said yesterday it's willing to open discussions with Qualcomm over the patent dispute. I'm Janet Babin for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management, Mellon.com. And by the Medtronic Foundation, in recognition of graduates pursuing careers in health and science and the teachers who inspired them. The Medtronic Foundation, on the web at Medtronic.com. Sustainability coverage supported by Calvert, mutual funds, college savings, and retirement investments in companies committed to responsible environmental, social, and governance practices. Calvert.com.
A British company is combining two things that don't seem to go together: rock concerts and global warming. The firm Global Cool was started this year by a former trader at the hedge fund Man Group. His name is Julian Knight. His company is part charity, part investment fund. Martin Waller has been writing about this for the Times of London.
They invest in a number of different green areas. And the latest fund, which could be as much as $100 billion, is aimed at investing in music festivals. They're already involved in music. They advise festivals on how to reduce their carbon footprint. They have the support of a number of well-known people in the music industry and the acting industry, and bands like The Killers, Scissor Sisters, Leonardo DiCaprio. The investment side, a certain proportion is given back to the investors as their profits, and the rest of it goes to the charitable side of the business.
What's the connection with rock concerts and global warming?
Julian's aware that he has to sell the idea of global warming to young people. And the best way of doing that is to stand on the stage, someone like The Killers or whoever, stand on the stage and say, hey, this is a really good idea. And you're talking to thousands and thousands of young kids. They also advise various events, the Mandela concert. They're talking to Al Gore on the forthcoming one in July on how to reduce their carbon footprint. There are a number of ways of doing that. For example, arranging for shared travel to a venue even, or using particular green forms of equipment. You can understand a big business like that has a huge carbon footprint.
And what is the overall goal of this hybrid company?
Well, when I spoke to Julian, I said, well, it's all very well a lot of well-meaning Western teenagers switching off their mobile phone chargers after they've finished. This is the sort of basic stuff he's talking about. But when you've got economies like India and China growing the speed they are and putting out the carbon emissions they are, aren't you just really sort of, this is a very small part of the story. And he said his plan is to expand into China and India and attract middle-class investors there by using events such as the Bollywood Film Festival he's involved with to spread the message in the same way they've used rock concerts and rock festivals. His ideal aim, he has some, I have to say, some extremely high-blown plans for saving the planet, and I have to take that with a huge pinch of salt. On the other hand, this is a very serious investment fund. This is a fund which is going to take your money and invest it. It's not some fly-by-night scheme will disappear. It's a serious business. But he is a very driven man, and he eventually talks about spreading the global cool message across the planet.
All right, Martin, thanks so much.
That's great. Thanks a lot.
Martin Waller of the Times of London. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for tuning in, and have a great weekend.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.